Last week we were going to be in Psalm 139, but then we got to talking. And so we're going to shoot for 139 tonight. I do teach on this chapter often. I think it's a great reminder of who God is, and a great reminder of who we are and who David is as he is writing this. And what we know about David is David blew it. And David has a time in his life where he defeated a giant, and there's a time in his life when he got defeated and he blew it. And so the thing is, he sinned. Let me just say that. Let me be real specific. But then just because that happened didn't mean that God was done. And again, I remind us all, including myself, Lewis, you did a great job Sunday morning in Sunday school. Just wanted you to know that. And so, because I was listening online. And so, but anyway, it's a reminder that there are no perfect people. And so we are where we are and who we are by the grace of God. I had the privilege of teaching the law enforcement Monday night, and I just encourage them to wake up every day and preach the gospel to yourself. You know, preach the gospel to yourself over and over and over again. The Apostle Paul reiterates grace, reiterates sinfulness of men and our need for Christ, and so he brings it up over and over again. Sometimes if you read in the letters, the epistles, that you'll think, man, he says stuff over and over again. Well, there's a reason for that. And the reason is because we don't get it sometimes. And so we have to hear it over and over again so that we can get it and so that we can soak it in. So have you ever been through a passage of Scripture and you didn't really understand it, and then all of a sudden it hits you? And you think, wow, it just hits you like everything, and I see it now. Well, that's what Scripture does, and that's what the Holy Spirit does, and God will give it to you at just the right time when you need it. So that's why, going back to Psalm 139, it's good to be repetitious, okay? And what you're going to see in this chapter is you're going to see the omniscience of God. You're going to see the omnipresence of God. You're going to see the omnipotence of God. And what I mean by that is, and I normally don't use big words because I don't know what they are a lot of times myself, but the omniscience of God is that He is all-knowing. And He is all-knowing. Man, I love the red wines. Hey, how are y'all doing? Hey. He wasn't talking. So the omniscience of... We're in Psalm 139. So the omniscience of God is that God is all-knowing. And the omnipresence of God is that God is everywhere. And then the omnipotence of God is He is all-powerful. He is all-powerful. And in this verse, you see all of it, okay? And so that's why I like this verse so much. And if you're listening online, I'm glad you're joining us. And so, again, Psalm 139, let's pray. Oh, Father, You are absolutely wonderful and amazing and magnificent. And there's no words in the English language or any language that can truly, truly describe how wonderful You are. We give it our feeblest attempts. But Lord, we just thank You that You loved us with a cross. And Father, to this very day, if it weren't for the cross, there would be no remission of sins. If there wasn't any shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. But Father, we thank You that You did love us with a cross, and that You took our sins, and You died for our sins, and You were buried, and on the third day You rose again. So, Lord, we serve not a dead God, but a resurrected Savior who's coming again. And we are so grateful for that. Let us see tonight in this psalm, this chapter, Lord, of just the all-knowingness of You and how You are everywhere and how You are so strong. And You are mighty to save. You are mighty to protect. And we just want to say tonight that we love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. The Scriptures always give us encouragement, and as we look at the Scriptures, and again, I told someone a while ago, my other Bible I left at home, it has large print. This is small print, so if you see me get down, you know what's going on, okay? So as we look at this, we're just going to kind of walk through it. I've kind of written out to the side some of my notes, searched and know. I want you to see this. And what is it that God knows about us? And I've written some things out there too. And I want you, it's okay to write in your Bible, okay? I want you to know that God's not going to cast you out of heaven if you wrote in your Bible, okay? So it's His Word, so you can take notes in it, okay? So chapter 139, verse 1, "You have searched me, Lord." You see that word Lord, it is the real name of God. It is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's not the title of God. It is His real name, okay? And it says that "You have searched me, Lord, and You know me." Who is writing? It's David writing this. And so in this, the Lord has searched him. The Lord knows him. And there is nowhere that you can go, and there's nothing that you cannot think that God doesn't already know, and God isn't already there. And it says that "You know when I sit and when I rise." Think about how many times a day you sit and rise. For some, it varies, right? For some, you may sit a lot. And for some, you may get up and go, especially if you got a 2-year-old or if you got a little one. I'm thinking about Richard and Leslie back there with Maverick. You just don't sit long. Knox, you do not sit long. You're up and you're going. So God knows every time that you sit and every time that you go. Here's the thing. And we don't even need to put ourselves on the same realm as God, is that you and I don't even know when our spouse gets up and goes. You and I don't even know sometimes when our kid gets up and goes, and you think, oh gosh, he's gone. And then you take off. You just happen to see it. And so we don't even know why, because we don't have that all-knowingness. We don't have that all-knowledge, and so God does. And aren't you glad that God does? God doesn't sleep. God doesn't say, okay, my day's over. I'm going to leave them to themselves and let them go. No, God is always awake. He's not limited to, he's got to have rest so that he can make it the next day. And you think about that. How many of you got to have rest? How many of you are tired right now? Okay, right? We're going to be honest, right? Many of us are tired, and you're already looking forward to 8:30 going to bed. Okay? So you're tired. Why? Because you can only go so far, and then you got to have rest and do it all over again and do it all over again. Not God. He knows when you sit. He knows when you rise. "You perceive my thoughts from afar." So in my notes here, I put searched and know. What does God know? God knows our thoughts. That's pretty scary, right? What if God put on a projector screen and laid your head on it, and He shot up on the wall right there every thought you have? There would be nobody in church. No one be in church, and many of us would have our head down, and we would say, oh my goodness, you can't hide from God, not even your thoughts. Not even your thoughts. Now you see where we need to be in a state of repentance, because God even knows them. You can't hide them from Him. And a lot of times we can hide stuff from each other. But you can't hide anything from God. Why? Because He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows everything about you. And He knows everything about your family and everything about your kids. And so what else does He know? He knows our going. We just already discovered that. He knows our going. What else does He know? He knows our ways. He knows our words. Look what it says. "You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down." You are familiar with all of my ways. You know, if a sniper wanted me, I mean, I'm pretty set pretty much all the time. You know, I mean, I do the same. Y'all do the same things all the time pretty much. I mean, you just have a same routine. And if you get out of routine, I mean, it's just, if you get out of routine, you're just kind of messed up, right? You know, when I went on vacation, that's called getting out of your routine. And for me, I'm a very routine person. And if you get out of that, I'm just all messed up. But here, God says, I am familiar with all of your ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Before a word is on my tongue, do you know that God knows when you gossip? God knows when you slander. God knows when you're jealous. God knows all of these things because He says right here in the Psalm, you know it before it ever even leaves my tongue. The scary part is when we get to that point in our life that we don't really even care what comes off our tongue. But the brokenness of a person, they do care. They do care because they want to, in their life, they want to please God in everything they do. How many of you, sometime in your life, and again, this is rhetorical, I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want to call you out. How many of you sometimes want to give someone a piece of your mind? You get upset at work, you get upset, you know, whatever, and so therefore, you want to give someone a piece. What, can I ask you what good that does? Some of you say, well, it makes me feel a whole lot better. Yeah, for a little while, until you think about it. Because a lot of times when we give someone a piece of our mind, we're not thinking. We're not thinking right. And therefore, we say things that we wish we would not have said. But at that time, you say, I'm just giving them a piece of my mind. The thing we should be thinking about, all of us, is that everything that comes off of our tongue should be about the glory of God, the praise of God. And that's why He also says in Scripture that many times we praise God with our lips, but at the same time we'll curse. That same mouth that does that is the same mouth that may curse someone else, and they don't go together. As a believer, they don't go together. So let me go on over. Verse 5. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. I love that. You know what our greatest need is tonight? Is for God's hand to be upon us. I mean, if God's hand is on you, that is absolutely awesome. The worst thing that can happen is for God not to put His hand on you. As a matter of fact, to take His hand away from you. We need to, as the church and as individual Christians, we need to daily pray that God's hand would be upon our lives. God, let your hand be upon me that my mouth may praise you, that I may worship you, and that I may make you known everywhere I go. And so, that your hand be upon me. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. Now we're seeing the omni what? Presence of God. We just saw the omniscience of God, all knowing. Now we're seeing the omnipresence of God. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Question mark, question mark. If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. So there's nowhere that you can go that God isn't. That God isn't. In the heavens, He's there. Here, He's there. So a lot of times, and there are some people who really believe that God is a distant God. And that's because they're looking at him through the wrong side of the binoculars. If you turn the binoculars around, you see it in a long distant way. But if you turn them around, then you begin to see the closeness of the object. The closer you draw to the Lord, the more you see how big and how wonderful He is. And He is absolutely everywhere. He is not just a God who's in the courtroom, but He is also the God who's the father and the dad in the family room. He is absolutely everywhere. So what do we need to do in our everyday life? Well, we need to teach our kids that God is everywhere. We need to share with them the omnipresence of God. That there's nowhere, and that's, again, Sunday I was stressing this point, is that whenever you teach your kids how big God is, they begin to grow up in a home who teaches how big God is. Not how little God is, but how big God is. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. So David is being guided by the hand of God. David is being guided by the hand of God. If you allow sin to creep in your life and unconfessed sin in your life, God can withdraw His hand. And He can bring discipline. And there's a good chance that He will, because He says He disciplines those He loves. So because God guides him, and because we get disciplined sometimes, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It just means just the opposite. That God does love you. That God does love you because there is discipline in your life. Your right hand, look here, your right hand will hold me fast. I love the Lord's right hand. Have you thought about it? The Lord's right hand is what He says, will hold me fast. He's got the whole world in His hands. As a matter of fact, He's got you in His right hand. And He holds you fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. Why will the darkness not be dark to God? Huh? He's light. He's light. In Him, there is what? No darkness. Okay? All right. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you. And I love verse 13. Y'all ready for this? For you created my inmost being. Let that sink. You created my inmost being. You and I are created by the Master Creator. And God does not make junk. That needs to be proclaimed off of every Christian's mouth, because we live in a world and in a society where there are young guys and young girls who believe that they are absolutely nothing because they've been told that all their life. You'll amount to nothing. You are worth nothing. And they are created in that hand of God. I mean, they are an original masterpiece created in the image of God. And they need to hear that. And our families need to hear that. And our kids need to hear that. And our grandkids need to hear that. They need to know how much time God spent creating them. He just didn't throw it together. He didn't. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. That's where it began. In my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. We need to preach that to ourselves. That God is fearfully. So Your personality, God made it. Your looks, God made it. You with no hair, God made it. You with a lot of hair, God made it. You know, sometimes kids can be really cruel. And they really can. And hurt people hurt people. Change people change people. And so it's lack of teaching. Of teaching them who they are in Christ Jesus. So we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. And so let me just throw this out there too. Quit trying to change your spouse. Quit trying to change your kids. Because God made them. And I say that from experience. I've shared this with you all when I first got into ministry. Cammie is very reserved. Y'all, if you know her and you've been pretty close to her, she's very reserved. Now, she is a fourth man. And she can speak when she wants to. Trust me. But she's very reserved, and there's this thing called extrovert and introvert. There are some who are extroverts and there are some introverts. And you know what I've learned over time? That's great. And if you're an extrovert, that's wonderful. If you're an introvert, that's absolutely wonderful. Because why? Because that's how God made you. And there are families literally breaking up because they're trying to change each other. Why can't you be like? Why can't you? And then you try to do that and it just don't fit. But when you come to that understanding that God made you, you. And sometimes God puts you together. Most time God puts you together to build work in your life. What if we were all the same? It'd be terrible. But we're different. And sometimes that difference can drive us crazy when we're impatient because we're trying to change someone else. And we begin to understand what Scripture says. You are fearfully and you are wonderfully made, created in the image of God, knitted together in your mother's womb. Your works are wonderful. And I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes, get this, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Trad didn't say that, right? God said that. All your days were ordained for you and were written in His book. So the time that you were born to the time that you die, God wrote that story. God wrote that story in your life. I have no control over when I was going to be born, and I have no control over when I'm going to die. And I have no control over that with my family or anyone else. Why? Because it is absolutely in God's control. And sometimes we get frustrated with that because we like to be in control. Has anything ever been out of your control? Everything, right? If we get to thinking about it, we have no control, but we think we do. We think we do when I've got to drive. I get in that airplane, I don't have the control. But literally, even if I'm driving, I still don't have control, right? Because I don't have control of that other person. And so you think you do, but we don't have control. God has absolute control. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to be. When did God think about you? When did God's plan for you happen? according to Scripture? Yes, y'all both said it. Before the foundation of the world. That's absolutely amazing. Not just you, but every single person ever born, before the foundation of the world, God did that. So, before you ever came to be, verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. So where do we get the thoughts of God? How precious to me are your thoughts, God. Yes, the Scriptures, the Bible. To know, if you want to know the heart of God, get into the Word of God, and you begin to know who God is. And he says, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Where were I to count them, they would be outnumbered the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. I mean, they would outnumber the grains of sand. I mean, there's a lot of sand in this world. We can't even fathom it. But they would outnumber that. Verse 19. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Now we're seeing David come out here, okay? If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me. You who are bloodthirsty, they speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and harbor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Can I ask you a question? Is David wrong here? Are we supposed to hate? Help me out here. What's David doing here?
Supposed to hate sin.
Hate sin, absolutely. But what does he say? Let's look. It says, if only you, God, would slay the wicked. It says, do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and harbor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. So, we're in New Testament time too, right? What changes here? What does Jesus say? We're to what? Love our enemies. What changes? We see grace come on the scene from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We see grace come on the scene. And we are to love our enemies. But also at the same time, can we as people get in the flesh? Can we as people fall into sin? We absolutely can. If you don't think you can fall into sin, you're in a dangerous place. If you don't think that you can fall like others fall, if you get to that point where you say that's not going to happen to me, ooh, you better back up and just pray, Lord, don't let that happen to me. And so we see here that David is on a roller coaster. And let me just say this. Many times when we read people in the Scripture, we can put them on a pedestal, and we got to realize they are just men, just like us. They are women, just like us, or like you women, and men like us men. Let me just say that. And so Paul Washer said one time, and it just resonated with me, there are no great men of God. Only mere men with a great God. And so there are none. So no one is to be put on a pedestal but Jesus. Let's go on. Any thoughts before we... Yes, Diane. Absolutely.
I just wonder about, like we studied Job.
Yeah.
Mm. And Eliphaz starts telling all the things he knows about God. And at the end of the book, God was speaking and he said, you were wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I guess I wonder if this all just fits in that you've got to take the whole counsel of God.
Absolutely. I think absolutely right. And also now that you've studied Job and you're studying Job, you almost need to go to the back of the book and read the last chapter and then go back and read through it. You know what I'm saying? And that way you get what God's saying about what's going on. But then it's good because at the end it tells you anyway. But yes, I think absolutely correct. Let me go a little further. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. I've already read that. Verse 22. I have nothing but hatred for them. I counted them my enemies. Verse 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. When's the last time you've prayed that? When's the last time I've prayed that? Search me, God, and know my heart. First of all, we know that God already knows His heart. Because God knows absolutely everything. But why sometimes do we not ask God to search us? Because we know He's going to find stuff. And so therefore, we want to think that it is hidden. There's nothing hidden from God. And so to have a heart that's seeking God is a heart that asks God to search me. Search me to see if there's anything that displeases you, anything that you dislike, anything that doesn't go along with your will, God. Reveal it to me that I may not sin against you. And David is saying, search me. And I find this interesting that he says this right after he says, I hate those. And who knows what God teaches David here. But anyway, I have nothing but hatred for them. Search me, God, and know my heart. And look what he says next. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked a while ago. When's the last time you asked God to test you? Scary, right? Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. And then he said, search me. And then he said, search me. Yeah. And then he follows up, not only search me, but he said, test me. Right. Right. Absolutely. So, it's scary to ask God to test you, right? Sometimes there's a test that will come into your life. And let me just say that just because a bad thing comes in your life doesn't necessarily mean it's because of sin in your life. It could mean just simply that God's going to mold you and make you more into the image of His Son. We see, just correlating with Job, that Job was a righteous man. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was a righteous man. And it didn't mean because he was a righteous man that he was immune from being tested. And so here David is saying, search me and test me and know my anxious thoughts. And I find that neat that he says, he doesn't just say, and know my thoughts. He says, my what? My anxious thoughts. How many of us have anxious thoughts? What is an anxious thought? A worry thought. I mean, I guess that's the best one to describe it. Is because when you're anxious, what is it? Y'all ever get anxious? I mean, you get anxious about something, and sometimes your anxiety level can really top out. And when you're really anxious, your thoughts, I mean, you just can't stop them, right? You're just running and running. He says, know my anxious thoughts. This worry in my life, these thoughts in my life. I have nothing. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And look what he says at the very end, and lead me. Earlier he said, guide me, and now he says, lead me in the way of everlasting. And so he ends this chapter with just asking the Lord to search him and asking the Lord to test him. I mean, what happens when you ask God to begin to search you and test you and lead you? I mean, you can't go wrong asking the Lord to do those things in your life. and lead me in the way that I should be going. Have you ever gone the wrong way? I mean, guys have never gotten lost. Okay? You just ask them. They have never gotten lost. Now, they may have taken a wrong turn, but they're not lost, right? Or if they are, they're not going to admit it. Cammie and I got in one of the biggest discussions we've ever been in our entire life, whenever Chase was, I don't know, maybe a year old, if that. And we're in St. Louis, and I got turned around downtown, and Chase is crying, I mean, just crying, and Cammie is telling me I'm going the wrong way, and I knew I was going the wrong way because I was going the wrong way, and I'm trying to find a side road, and I mean, just everything, but I wasn't lost. I just took a wrong turn. And our pride gets us, and so the thing is what we can learn from this is pride will take us down a wrong road. Whenever we get to that point where we don't think that we need anyone, David realized his only hope was God. David had sinned against God. David had lost a child. David was on the rebound. God wasn't finished with David. He continued to use him. And so you have to realize that just because you mess up, because you blow up, because you sin, it doesn't mean that God's finished with you. But it does mean that we should repent, we should turn, and we should cry out to God, and we should ask God to test us, to search us, to guide us, to lead us in the way of everlasting. And that, the Scripture is full of hope. It's full of hope. And when I read it, I read it looking at it from a hope perspective, from a grace perspective. Any thoughts before we're done? We finished that chapter. Anything that you want to add? Help me out. Anything you want to add? Anything that stands out? Quiet bunch, aren't you? Sometimes when you ask God, and He tells you, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, sometimes we don't want to ask God because we don't want to hear what He has to say to us. Amen, amen. We should. That should be our desire of our heart, that He tell us what we need to hear. We need to hear it from Him. Anything else? All right. Well, if you have any thoughts, let me know. So, y'all just look.